One word, how it can change everything. Rules. Where you see, your understanding of rules affects everything else in your life. If you live by rules and rules only, you're going to be in trouble. But if you can figure out how to balance rules with relationship, I think that's where the key is going to be found. That's why we're spending a few weeks looking at that one word, rules. Rules are all around us. You've got rules of the road. If you're going to drive a car, going to drive a motor vehicle of any kind, or if you're going to be a pedestrian or ride a bicycle, you've got to know the rules of the road, or you can get in serious trouble. Your favorite game has rules to it. Now, you may break those rules, you may cheat at those rules, but it doesn't change the fact that even the most fun games that we play are governed and they operate within a set of guidelines, a set of rules. And then you have this phrase, rule of law. It's a legal term, absolutely, yes. But it's often used when people are trying to talk in general terms that we're going to be, our guidelines and our living and everything that we do is going to be based upon the rule of law. We're going to follow the laws of the land. All those things are true. But I want to spend a few minutes with you, we have left today, talking about rules of our relationship with Jesus. Not that rules are the relationship. Once again, rules, that one word, can change everything for the good or for the bad. But if we can understand how rules apply to the Christian life, and how the relationship that we have with Jesus affects the relationship we have with one another and sets a guide or sets a starting point for those rules, then I think we're on the right track. Two brief verses out of a letter that Paul wrote to the Colossian church, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Sometimes we take a passage on a Sunday morning like this and we take the words of God and we seek to apply them and we make generalities or general statements concerning what they mean. But then sometimes the passage lends itself, it's short enough, I guess is what I'm saying, that where we don't need to just make general statements, but we need to drill down. We need to look at every single word. In other words, this is a lesson in grammar. You may not like grammar. You may not like the use of the English language and how it's to be written and spoken properly, or how sometimes we butcher the English language. But if we can take God's word here and go back to the language in which it was written in, which was the Greek language, if we can break down these thoughts, it'll help. That's what I want to do with you this morning. Therefore refers to everything that came before, verse 6, talking about our faith in Christ. So then Paul uses that connecting word, therefore, and then he says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ Jesus the Lord. You go, I've heard that before. This is the only place in the entire New Testament where the phrase Christ Jesus the Lord is used. You say, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. Because what I'm saying is the very wording, the position of these titles, of these words, it's only here. You've got Jesus everywhere in the New Testament. You have Lord Jesus everywhere in the New Testament. You have Jesus the Lord in many places. You have Christ, Jesus the Christ, but Christ Jesus the Lord, only here, nowhere else. Now, I don't want to make something bigger than it's supposed to be, But I think that in the very phrasing that Paul uses here, he did it intentionally. And it's no mistake that this is the only spot in the New Testament where this phrase, Christ Jesus the Lord, appears. Think about it. He says, as we received Christ. We received him as Christ. You know what that word Christ means, don't you? Literally, it means in the Hebrew language and translated into English, Messiah. We receive Christ when we trust him, when we come to faith. The word Christ, everything that it means, that he is our Messiah, he is our Savior. There is no other way. So Paul says, when he's skirting around the rules, you got to remember, you received Christ. He also says, we received Jesus. We received the personal manifestation of God in Jesus. That's his human name. That's his earthly name. And you know, if you take the word Jesus and you go to the Old Testament and you find its equivalent is Joshua. And both Joshua and Jesus talk about one who saves, one who delivers, one who rescues. We received Christ, the Messiah. We received Jesus in his humanity, the God-man, the manifestation of God in the flesh. Don't ever forget that. Don't divorce and separate who he is as Messiah as who he is as the personal Jesus. But then he says, we received Christ Jesus the Lord. He doesn't say Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say Lord Jesus. He says we received Christ Jesus. Definite article here, the Lord. The Lord. That word Lord, you could write books about it. It started out as a term of respect for a teacher, perhaps. You would call a famous person, perhaps, by this term back in that day and time. But then over time, that term of just respect turned into a word that describes Jesus, who is the creator behind the creation of everything in God, who is Lord of lords, King of kings. It becomes a word that the Roman emperor applied to himself in claiming to be Caesar is Lord, if you will, which then meant that if you claimed to love Jesus and call him Lord, then you didn't call anyone else Lord, which could get you in a lot of trouble because you were a citizen of the Roman Empire or you were a slave within the Roman Empire with no citizenship rights whatsoever. And you were commanded to acknowledge Caesar as Lord. But for the Christian, that can't happen. There is only one Lord. So you see, Paul says, and he's very careful in his word choice, only place in the whole New Testament where you've got this phrasing, we received Christ Jesus the Lord. Back up to that word received. Received means accepting it as it is, receiving it in its truth, receiving it in everything that goes along with it. So as we received, as we accepted Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, Paul says. The word walk, by far, hands down, it's Paul's favorite description of the Christian life. Now granted, he uses the word run at times, but more times than not, it's a walk. Walking is so mundane, isn't it? It's so boring to many of us. When you compare walking to running, There's no contest for some of us as to which one we would rather be doing. So which one is most important? When you think of walking as compared to flying, I mean, come on now. But it's the walk. That's the descriptive term that Paul uses 9 times out of 10. Why? Well, think about it. When you walk, you may not be getting there first. But when you walk, you make progress every day. When you walk, you get to where the destination is. The Christian life, Paul says, is one where we make strides day by day, moment by moment. Not a rush, not boxing, not throwing something farther than anybody else can, not running a marathon at top speed. All those things can be used, and they are used at times to describe faith, but more times than not, it is the everyday, obedient walk with God. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How do we receive? We receive by faith, the Bible says. But that gets us back to the grammar lesson that if you remember anything I've ever said in all these years, I hope it is this, is that we have to substitute a word in the English language for faithing. We can't make faith a verb in English. It's just not proper. You get graded down on anything you write or anytime you speak. Faithing is not possible in the English language. And what a tragedy that is for most of us, because in the scripture, faithing is an action. It is a verb. It is acting upon the claim of Jesus in your life. So we receive not just by believing, that's the word we substitute, but we receive by faithing. Then what happens? Well, something normally goes wrong with all of us somewhere along the way, doesn't it? Jesus, over in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love." What does that mean? You've left your first love. You know, it's easy to fall in love, or at least it seems so. I've been in countless weddings over the years, officiating, been in a wedding of my own 46 years ago, helped with the wedding of my children. Weddings are fun because it's so easy to talk about love and falling in love and being infatuated with one another. But then it just seems like all of a sudden something goes wrong along the way, doesn't it? That this ideal you had up here, or this emotional tie you had to someone, all of a sudden isn't as glamorous as it used to be. It's easy to fall in love. What's difficult, people will tell us, is how to grow in that love and how to stay in that love, how to appreciate each other and how to love one another more and more each day. Jesus identified a group of people and said, "I have this against you. You left your first love. You left that excitement. You left that commitment somewhere along the way. You got bored with it. Somewhere along the way, someone let you down. Somewhere along the way, whatever that is, caused you to turn away or to lose that enthusiasm." That's why Paul adds 4 brief phrases as he completes this verse. Did you hear them? As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And then here they go. Having been firmly rooted, being built up, establishing your faith, just as you were instructed, with gratitude. So how do we walk this Christian life? How do we gain ground in this relationship that we have with Jesus? We do it by walking and realizing that we're firmly rooted in Jesus, first of all. There's a grammatical important thing here. This is a participle, which is a verbal adjective most of the time, which means being firmly rooted in Him. It's more than one word put together. But what it tells us, this is what's called the perfect tense. And the perfect tense in this idea of being firmly rooted means that you were firmly rooted back in the past, and the results of that rooting still carry on today. Perfect tense, something happened in the past that still carries on through the day, to the day, every single day. We're firmly rooted in Jesus. It's a plant, yes. The idea, firmly rooted. It's agricultural in its definition. Do you remember Icemageddon back in February? Icemageddon hit us all. Destroyed so many things. Landscape just being one of them. But there's this plant outside of our bedroom window that when everything started to thaw, I was about to dig it up, and Marcy said, no, let's leave it. I said, well, what for? Because there's a chance that it can come back. I almost started laughing. There's no way. I mean, it was just, you could break the branches off without hardly trying. But you know, if you come to my house today, you're not invited today. Maybe someday you will be. But if you were to come to my house today and you were to look out my bedroom window, you would see this flowering green bush, plant, whatever it is. I don't even know what it's called. Let's just call it the plant. Why? Because it was firmly rooted. We walk not only being firmly rooted, but we walk being built up in Jesus. Now, this is a perfect, not a perfect tense, excuse me. This is a present tense. This means that when we are being built up in Jesus, it's something that is ongoing. It's a work in progress every single day. Once again, rooted is the plant, being built up is the building. If you've ever been a part of anything that's built, you know that sometimes the work looks like it's really going great guns because all these things are happening. Some days you wonder, did anybody ever show up? Was anything ever done? And yes, it was that things were done. It was that certain things had to happen that you might not see, that you might not be aware of. You might not hear the jackhammer or the saw. But certain things were being done behind the scenes to make the building secure and safe. Well, he says, we walk this Christian life being built up in Jesus. He says, we walk this Christian life being established. Established in what? Literally, in our faith. But the idea there has got to be the great doctrines, the great teachings, the scriptures that establish us in God's word. So it's an academic idea. So you go from the plant, you go to the building, you go to the book learning, being a student, memorizing, taking the great truths of God, and they're established in our lives each and every day. And then we walk filled with gratitude. Once again, it's a present tense. It's not that we're thankful one time, one and done. We're thankful each and every day that we live. So as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, firmly rooted, being built up, established in the faith. and being grateful each and every day that God's presence is with us. And it brings us back to those two little words. We've talked about them before. They're just connecting words, we might say. If we're going to look at them grammatically speaking, they are just conjunctions. They just tie one idea to the next, but not so here. As and so. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. As you started, so you continue. You don't need to add anything else to it. You don't need more rules. What other rules do we need other than what Paul has told us in these two brief verses that basically encourage us to keep on keeping on just as we began? And then that leads us to this. How did you begin? Have you asked Christ Jesus the Lord to control your life? Have you asked Him to take the reins of your life, to take the power source of your life? Have you asked Him to lead you and guide you? If you haven't, as and so are not going to work for you, are they? But if you have, when you come to those times in life when you're troubled, when you come to those times in life when you think things are falling apart, you come back and say, how did I start this? How did all this begin? It began by my receiving Christ Jesus the Lord by faith. And as I took Him by faith, so I will continue. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity to gather here, to come before You, to hear Your word, and then to be given the opportunity to act upon it. This is what I pray we do right now, Lord. And it's in the name of Jesus that we offer our prayer. Amen. We wrap up this hour the way we do each and every time we gather. God speaks. We respond. You can respond with obedience or you can respond with disobedience. It's up to you. You can choose to walk out of here still burdened with all the rules that people have put upon you. Or you can walk out of here walking in faith, and as you begin, that's how you continue. So if you're here today and you've never asked Christ Jesus, the Lord, to come into your heart and life, that's a choice. It's a prayer that's prayed. It's a decision that affects life. And I would encourage you to step into not that rule, not that relation, but the relationship with Jesus, the relationship with God's Son. If you're here today and you know the Lord, just hadn't told anyone, tell us. It's called professing one's faith. If you've yet to be baptized as a believer, let's talk about what that means, why it's important, what it signifies. And if you're here today looking for a congregation, a place where you can belong, a place where you can connect, this is who we are. We are the church. And that's how God moves in our world today. That's very clear. You can't do it on your own, but you can do it through the power of the Spirit at work in you. That's our invitation. So as we stand, as we worship, as we sing, we ask you to step out and respond as God leads.